you try, there's a problem. Some people ask the question, why did the moratoriums take so long to develop, right? So why did it take so long to bring, 200,000 people together across Australia, okay? Which were, at the time, it was the biggest protest assemblages in Australian history, right? We've done bigger since then, but the moratoriums were historically huge, right? Why did it take so long? It took so long to get that many people together, first because you had to change public opinion, and the Tet Offensive helped do that, right? But you had something like variously opposing the Vietnam War and conscription, and opposition began as soon as conscription was introduced, right, with small protests. There was something like 146 different organisations around, all with their own sort of agendas, memberships. And I mean, age groups is a very complex thing and difficult thing to build and bring that many groups together. I mean, there were people who sort of like, there were divisive debates, for example, and just how trivial things could get. Like the students right across Australia wanted to chant things like, 1, 2, 3, 4, we don't want your fucking war, okay? Wanted to chant that down the main streets. Well, you found a lot of people who were sympathetic towards you, didn't like that. Because, at the time, publishing the word or saying the word fuck in Australia was criminal, right? And I mean, even today on Facebook, you see people want to write fuck, so they put F-K, Why don't you just write fuck? I mean, we've still got a problem with that. But that was a very big problem, for instance. Another popular chant at the time was, Ho Chi Minh, ho. You want the North Vietnamese to win. You want Ho Chi Minh to win. Well, a whole pile of people thought, no, if you support the National Liberation Front and you support Ho Chi Minh, you're actually supporting the killing of Australian soldiers. We can't have that. And so there's all manner of little problems like that, which are really big problems when you're dealing with people. And then the Trotskyist organisations didn't like the formerly organised communist parties. So the Trots used to say, no, we're not going to deal with it. They're Stalinists. And I mean, and then there's different degrees of the Trotskyists. There's splits amongst the Trotskyists. I mean, how do you bring all these together? And then, then there's organisations, a whole pile of Australian World War II veterans. They had their anti-war organisation too. I mean, so you're working with much older people, people from different experiences. I remember going up, must have been 1967 or something like that, up to the North Shore in Sydney. And talking to a whole pile of lovely people who were anti-atomic bomb, anti-nuclear war people who'd been in peace protests since the 1950s. Well, they didn't like the fact that I had sort of longer hair, right? You go down and I remember it was in 1968, going down to lunchtime meetings where workers were having lunch and they used to bring in guest speakers. Well, you go down to the waterfront and the wharfies and the people manually handling cargo, stuff like that, and they're sitting down eating their sandwiches, and you walk in as a university student trying to talk about opposing war, getting out in the streets, demonstrating and stuff like that. And what's a university student? You know, like, we're working class people, mate. You know, you're speaking a bloody foreign language sort of thing. So there were a whole pile of suspicions and differences that you had to sort of overcome. And it was a gradual process, a long gradual process of trying to bring everybody together, which eventually happened, but it was a complex process.